Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Sage Rosenfels, the official Tuesday morning quarterback with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi, longtime football observer.
I grew up with a little 19-inch black and white, I don't even know if it was 19 inches, it might have been 12 inches or something, black and white TV that had four channels. We basically watched the black and blue division. My dad's from Chicago. All we basically watched were Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers.
12 years of NFL experience.
Rosenfels with the ball, the bootleg, fake the pass, dives for the end zone, and in for the touchdown. Sage Rosenfels, brilliant on that first drive.
Goat of the preseason.
It's a specialty.
Sage Rosenfels with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
We call him our Tuesday morning quarterback because nobody breaks down Bears quarterback play like our friend Sage Rosenfels, who is on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. He is on The Score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And check him out, boy, representing everything between Iowa State and Des Moines. And I can't exactly see what... He says, Des Moines, hell yes. And I'm not sure if tongue-in-cheek he's saying that Des Moines is actually hell, which I tend to read that, which could be intended that way. We'll have him interpret for us, but he is with us. You can see for yourself on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hey, Sage.
Des Moines is all the good of Chicago without the traffic. I tell you, it is a great town. I'm a state of Iowa boy, and Des Moines our capital, and Des Moines, hell yes. It is a great city, and it doesn't have all the issues of big city Chicago. So, and I'm representing the state of Iowa today. Of course, my Iowa State Cyclones with a big win over Oklahoma State, number 8 ranked team in the country, despite the fact that the refs tried to screw them over like 30 times in this game, and concluding, I think, and we all like to say that's the worst call I've ever seen. I think the unsportsmanlike conduct on the receiver, looking back, doing maybe two quasi high steps as he goes in the end zone to call a penalty on that, it really might be the worst call I have ever seen in sports in general.
In the NBA, a guy got a technical for looking at somebody funny, but I think that's up there.
It's
I didn't want to be that
though.
Person, NBA, but it's kind of the same.
A friend of mine was on the sidelines, and he was right there when the refs were explaining it to Matt Campbell, our head coach, and he said the player taunted the opposing team with his eyes. And if you watch the play, he literally glances back to see who's behind him, right? I mean, and also, it's football. You're wearing a helmet. Like, it's not like the NBA where it's a little bit more obvious when somebody is sort of taunting somebody with their eyes or the way they look at them. I mean, it was really a bad call. Anyway, we're not here to discuss my Cyclones, who are ranked in the top 25. No, we're here to discuss the Bears, who are ranked maybe in the out of the top 25, and there's only 32 teams in the NFL. So that's what we're here to discuss today.
Bad day for Justin Fields. There's no other way around it. And it wasn't all his fault, but it was certainly somewhat his fault. Where do he and the coaching staff meet, and where were the communication issues obvious to you?
It's a mess. When I watch the film, it's a mess. I could go through the drives and the sort of the plays within those drives if you'd like to. That was sort of my thought going into this, just to sort of say, like, well, why this first drive down? I mean, the first play of the game, they run a crack toss into a strong safety down, that the opposing team has an extra guy right there. You've game plan all week. This is a great play to run into a defense where the other team has more people than you. So it obviously has a no gain. The second play, the Bears try to go sort of max protection to throw the ball down the field. They get a free safety blitz. They have a rookie running back who I assume is responsible for that play. A lot of times when you do play actions, the tailback is responsibility for any sort of secondary blitzer. He misses it. Didn't really matter because the left tackle missed the defensive end, who, when you have a free safety blitz on the outside, 99.9% of the time the defensive end will then come inside because he now has the inside gap and the free safety has the outside gap. We get a whiff by Peters. So even if the free safety doesn't blitz, it's going to be probably a sack fumble anyway. and then they go third and 20. They try to double move on third and 20. Corners are not going to fall for that. Safeties are not going to fall for that. It's third and 20. They're going to play as soft as possible. That's your first drive, all right? Your second drive, they go under center. They run for 30 yards with their running back, right? So you would think that you would sort of go back to that. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes I think coaches overthink the complexity of football, and they go, you know, if you run the ball for 30 yards, I would probably run the ball again. Maybe not the same run, but something similar, maybe to the other side. They run for 30. The next play, they go seven-step drop. They try to move a double move, a bailing corner again. Quarterback gets pressure, ends up running because the block doesn't, the line doesn't block another blitzing guy. So the quarterback runs for five. Komet has a drop. They punt. Now they go shotgun again. You know, we just ran for 30 yards. Let's go shotgun to start that third drive. The Bucks go with what they call a two slice coverage, which sort of looks like single safety. So you're going to have an easy throw on the outside. It's not that, but when the quarterback looks down to catch the ball and the defense changes, sometimes you miss those things, right? There's an added value of actually being under center and not having to take your eyes off the defense. Okay. Then they get an empty cover three defense. They go empty. There's two pass patterns. It was, you know, a pass pattern on one side and a pass pattern on the other side. They get cover three. The two pass patterns, one was good for a cover two type play, and the other side was good for a man-to-man type play. They get cover three. Nobody's open. Quarterback gets pressure. He scrambles around, throws the interception. All right, he had nowhere to go with the football. The fourth drive, they run for five, run for another five, first down. They try to do a little play action with a bad fake. Nobody's there. He checks the ball down. And then they go back and he tries to throw the ball. 1.93 seconds is how long Justin Fields had the ball before he was hit by a right tackle who had absolutely no help. He's taken one. A quarterback should be able to go back, take one hitch, and throw the football. And so that is not the quarterback's fault. Fumbles the ball. It's 21-0. It's 21-0. And here we are. And so it goes on the next drive, the fifth drive. They throw a tight end screen. Screens are usually good versus zone. If you do catch man, you have to get the guy who is blocking, who has the tight end and man-to-man blocked. All right, they actually block him. If you watch screens in the NFL, most screens are caught. They're brought inside the numbers, and then you kick out the player. The screener goes inside the numbers, and then he usually bounces out wide when they really hit. If Komet would come inside the guy, the guard who was blocking his man, that's going to be a 15 or 20 yard play.
He ran into the tackler. He tackled himself.
Into the tackler. So I'm not sure if how that's coached, but the good screen teams I was on, it was constantly put into our heads. When you catch the ball, that there's going to be kickout blocks, and you're going to be running inside the numbers. All right, and then if you end up bouncing it back out for the pursuit, that's how screens get, you know, big plays. He runs outside the guy who's blocking him, who's kicking out, so it ends up being, you know, basically nothing there. And then as we go, he does miss an easy throw. Justin Fields does start missing occasional some easy throws on this. It is interesting, by the way. It gets to the seventh drive of the game, and the Bears go sort of where they just throw an out route, about a 15-yard out route to Mooney on the right-hand side. Obviously, you guys are watching this thing on TV as I was. The Bears kept in their tight end, their running back. They chip to make sure their quarterback has enough time. It is an easy pitch and catch, and Tony Romo says, this is the, and then they run a bootleg for 5 or 7 yards and get another first down. And Romo says, this is the offense I've been waiting for. He says it's the seventh drive of the game. And Tony Romo says, this is the offense that I've been waiting for. Protect your quarterback. Let him throw those out routes. He doesn't miss those very often. He's pretty dang accurate. He is a fairly accurate quarterback for the most part, if you give him time. So it just shows the disconnect from what works for this kid or for this offense and what doesn't work. It took seven drives for Romo to be like, all right, this is the offense that I would run if I was the offensive coordinator with this young quarterback. Don't ask him to think too much. Don't ask him to see too much. Don't go empty, because that is hard on a young quarterback because there's just too much going on. And you're, you know, so you are starting to see sometimes Justin see some ghosts a little bit. You are starting to see a guy blitzes. He should be looking to his right to possibly throw the slant. He doesn't. He sort of goes back and forth, takes another sack, you know, in this ball game. And the real my favorite play of the whole game, and I'm being sarcastic, but my favorite play of the whole game is when they're trying to fight their way back. They get the ball 3rd and 10 on the 10-yard line, 3rd and goal on the 10-yard line. Okay. They go with 3 tight ends in the game. Number 87, I had to look him up. I am not a beat writer, right? So I am not paying attention to every player on this team. But Jesper Horsted has a one-on-one matchup with a 6'3" corner, okay? One of the taller, lankier corners. And that is the best the Bears can do, is a one-on-one matchup. I assume he's the 3rd, maybe 4th tight end on this roster. All right, 3rd and 10 from the 10-yard line, 3rd and goal from the 10-yard line, and you put in 3 tight ends. Like, you're trying to – I don't even know what that is. Like, you want in 4 wide receivers, all right, or maybe 3 wide receivers and a tight end. You're not going to run the ball. Take out your running back, for crying out loud. But they put in 3 tight ends, like what you would do in, like, a 3rd and 1 situation or a goal line situation. Or, you know, maybe there's some weird matchup there because your tight ends are so great that, hey, we can get – this is not the guy you throw a fade route to on 3rd and goal from the 10-yard line. I mean, just mind-blowing. And, of course, Tampa doubles the other side. They look like they're sort of playing a quarters coverage, but that the safety is going to go in the help out on the other side where the starting tight end is, right? And you have a one-on-one matchup with a guy that I had to look up his name as, like, that's our best 3rd and goal from the 10-yard line play. All right, so I don't know. It's obviously a ray of things. I feel like I'm sort of fired up here, but it is a ray of issues. Part of it's the quarterback, but so much of it to me feels like coaching. It just does. And I, you know, I've been sitting here on this show for a number of years. It just feels like I saw the other day that people are starting to wonder, like, is Mitch Trubisky, could Mitchell Trubisky be an NFL starting quarterback? Is it just the fact that he was in such a terrible offense in Chicago that we actually don't know if he's good or not? We don't know right now if Mitchell Trubisky could be an NFL starting quarterback, could be one of the best 32. I think he probably actually is. All right. But we're seeing Justin Fields not look very good. Dalton didn't look great when he was playing, obviously, earlier either. Nobody has looked good. Nick Foles didn't look good last year in this offense. Whoever else was playing never looked good in this. Nobody really has looked good in this offense, except for Patrick Mahomes. He looked great in this offense a few years ago, but he's like Superman, and even he is struggling to try to make magic happen on every single drive, and it's costing the Kansas City Chiefs. And so – to me, yes, Justin Fields did not play great in this game, but nobody around him played really well either, and the coaches definitely did not help him out. You run the ball for 30 yards, and then you go shotgun the next play, and you don't. It just doesn't make any. The running back ran for 100 yards, and they weren't like just a bunch of runs at the end of the football game. By the way, it was like, oh well, he ran for 20 in the first half, and you know when the game was pretty much over, they were handing the ball off, and he got a bunch of crap yards at the end. He was running for quality yards for the first, you know, half of the game, first 3 quarters of the game, and you get blown out. Like, how can a running back run for 100 yards and you get blown out in the game? And I mean, the defense now, the problem is it's a, you know, football is an offense, defense, special teams type of game, but Mr. Gray's offense and defense, you can tell the defense is getting worn out. They are tired of trying to like hold the torch for this football team and constantly be put in bad situations and constantly, you know, running onto the field after another fumble or another turnover. And at some point that wears on you. And what I think is one of the better defenses in the NFL is starting to look average to below average. And you're starting to see a whole team start to sort of slide off that cliff.
When you hear the report about Justin Fields talking about why he threw one of the interceptions, was again the failure of whoever is in his headset saying, you have a free play here, when he was already told previously he had a free play the week before. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, what are my thoughts?
I guess, what's your reaction? Because to me, it goes back to what you're talking about, just multiple coaching failures.
Yeah, the coaches better be right, all right? And to have a young quarterback have to rely on coaches that are wrong, that's a real problem. You know, you're a young guy out there who's, you know, there's a lot of information coming at him when a coach says, hey, they got too many guys on the field, snap the ball, let's go. And then they don't have too many guys on the field and you take a chance, you have thrown an interception. You know, we all know when a guy's offsides or team is 12 men on the field, we've seen Aaron Rodgers do it for 15 years. Like, hey, I can go out, I can now be careless with the football. It's like the only time you can sort of be careless with the football as a quarterback. And then when the coaches are wrong and you're relying on them to be right, that's a real problem.
I hope this has been therapeutic for you. It sounds like the coming on and doing this is just a way to counterbalance having to sit through and seethe through all that film work.
As you watch the game, and I don't write down notes on every play, but I sort of do go through each drive and what happened right, what happened wrong. And as the game progresses, I don't want to use the word anger, all right, because I don't want to be like known as like an angry guy watching the film, but my disappointment raises as the game goes on.
Football sensibilities get offended. I totally get that. There are some things that happen that shouldn't happen.
It's a little bit offensive to me, and I'm not a offensive genius by any means, but I sort of feel like, man, if I was the coordinator, the different things that I would do to give this team a chance to win, the different things I would do to give this quarterback a chance to be successful, the different things I would do to give this offensive line to maximize their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. And I just continue to see, let's maximize our weaknesses. Let's put the quarterback in seven-step drop. Let's put the quarterback in shotgun. Let's run for 30 yards and then not go back to that play immediately. And you could ask every one of those offensive linemen, I promise you they'll say, other than the victory formation, running the ball is their favorite thing to do. Because every offensive line will say the exact same thing. And they will have a successful run and then not go back to it. And I just don't understand that at all. And I think I said, when I was in New York, I was talking to somebody in the organization. And, that 2011 team that won the Super Bowl, at the end of the day, they were an awesome offensive line, defensive line combo, right? That was the strength of those football teams. And at the end of the day, this game is still controlled by controlling the line of scrimmage. It's not about who has the best skill position players and this day. It's who controls the line of scrimmage. And when you can do that running the football, but you decide not to, instead draw up a whole bunch of pass plays that some I just simply don't like. I see pass plays that like, ooh, I hated that pass play. I hated that concept when coaches put it in. I never felt comfortable with it. I rarely got completions in it. It just seems like it's designed wrong but it's one of those old school pass plays that coaches always have in the playbook. I hated that play, and then the Bears call it. And they'll call it twice again. they called that play twice again. And
mine is the toss sweep. I'm with you.
Do not run at the down safety unless you have like a fullback accounting for the down safety, or you have a receiver in a position to block the down safety. Don't do that. That is bad football. It was the first play of the game.
We all have our pet peeves. Mine is the throw it to the guy to whom you faked it in the backfield. I don't know why it bothers me. It just always will. Sage Rosenfels, thanks for putting up with the Bears for us as always, and we'll talk next week.
Can I say one last thing? It's on my mind is, I've been advocating for this team to be a little more play action, a little more bootlegs, right? But when the Bears run bootlegs, they love to have that, whether it's a tight end or receiver, and that's what they call a slide, which means there's someone coming underneath the quarterback and he's sort of running out to the flat route, right? Well, that play, you're looking to maybe get a 5-yard gain. So we're going to call this play where our quarterback gets out of the pocket. We have time, and we're going to get 5 yards by throwing to that guy. Also, that guy is almost never open in zone coverage, right? Because no one's going anywhere. The flat defender to that side is not going to be sucked in on some fake, and all of a sudden this guy, he's just standing there waiting for someone to come. Oh, here comes the slider coming my way, right? That guy, that slide player, that's a great man cover. Like, you know, somebody has him in man. It's a linebacker. All right, he comes across the field. It's man coverage. He gets caught up in, you know, in sort of the play action and the run fake, and he sort of loses his guy behind there in that slide, and that's when that guy is open. They called that play about 3 or 4 times this game versus zone coverage, and of course, no one's ever open when you're running those bootleg type plays a lot of times in zone coverage down the field, and you know, they threw it to him a couple of times, and he got 5 yards as expected.
Say you need a Bloody Mary before lunch. Go get one. Yeah. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Hell yes, Sage.
Yes,
hell
that was yes. Awesome. That was awesome, Sage Rosenfels. Charch is also equally great. He's next on The Score.